All right, it is 3 o'clock, so we'll go ahead and get started. This is the February edition of the shared LSP update. So just get into our topics. I'll be monitoring chat, so if you have any questions when either I or others are speaking, feel free to type into chat or you can unmute yourself. All right. So one of the things that I've sent out in a couple of different areas is on a system-wide opportunity for LibKey, which we went through the process to get a group agreement with LibKey because we heard from a variety of group sessions and individuals that you were unhappy with the extra clicks to get to full text in Primo and the Alma link resolver. And as we looked at the Primo and the Alma link resolver roadmap, we saw that it is almost a year out before improved direct linking to or one-click linking to content is coming, and that is only open access and then analysis coming at the end of this year for how one-click linking might work. So we didn't think that that was something that we could push on for Ex Libris to improve, so it made the most sense to look for other solutions, and there was a good solution from Third Iron that several SUNYs were very happy with. And it had some other positives as well. So we put out a call for campuses to let us know if they're interested. And I think 12 have said either yes or no. And we appreciate no early if you do know, because that will save me having to give ranges of pricing to campuses, because I'll need to know, I'll be able to know who's in and who's not in. So please do try to meet that deadline of March 2nd to express interest or lack of interest via the survey. Pricing ranges are available as well through the institutional leads. And we will start setting up campuses, and there's an option for campuses to say, I'd like SUNY to set this up for you, and we will do that regardless of whether you have an extended support agreement or not. And if you do have an extended support agreement, we won't charge that against your hours for setting up LibKey. And it's a pretty quick turnaround that we found. There is Alma and Primo set up, but it doesn't. It's pretty standard stuff that that we need to do. Any questions on that? We had three webinars on what exactly LibKey is, and those are posted out recordings of them. All right. So wherever we see the opportunity to discuss partnerships with vendors, we try to do that as much as possible. One area that we thought was going to be problematic going forward was Gobi or YBP implementing costs for API usage, and we went back and forth with the vendor on this over the course of several months, met with them a few times, met with them in person to say, you know, we think that it's short-sighted to charge for the Gobi API. And you know, Maggie has done a lot of work with Gobi and YBP to try to make sure that there is as much parity as we possibly can get between the Gobi API and the Oasis API. And you know, others have helped with that testing and really told the vendor that if you look at this as a transactional relationship, we will also look at it as a transactional relationship, and our coordination and work with you on that goes away if you think that you need to charge more money for support and setup. So EBSCO and Gobi, you know, very, very kindly agreed that they would not be charging any SUNYs for use of the Gobi API. So that, you know, if you're a Gobi library and you wanted to use the API ordering, that you could do so either using Oasis or Gobi. And you know, I know that I don't want to steal Maggie's thunder, but or the API-based ordering task force's thunder, but that those workflows and policy, et cetera, will be coming out relatively soon. So we expect more campuses to do this API-based ordering in the near future. Know that you can do that with Gobi without that charge. I'm hoping that that flow of information is going out through the Gobi reps as well, but we've definitely put it out previously. So I just want to, you know, have the preface that we do understand, you know, in the and the SUNY Library Shared Services, that any new cost or any additional cost is problematic for campuses to absorb. So we really try to think about what we explore as a possible service that has costs attached. And that was why, you know, I think LibKey provides enough positives where we thought that that was something that we would see what campuses are interested. And another area that we have noticed over the last 2.5-3 years that is also of an area that there is high need, and we've discussed with multiple groups with campuses to just to see if there's enough interest for us to go forward on any level. There is potential and an interest within SUNY to get some higher quality development and support and training around ILLiad. And now that the ILLiad future is clearer, there will be releases that will have changes in workflows. It will have positives like really improved web pages that are much more accessible and just a general improvement. But we also understand that any of that project management is tough for campuses because you all are wearing so many hats and that no one has days to work on, you know, reworking your ILLiad web pages or seeing how the decision pipeline fits with your workflows in ILLiad. So we are going to start working on seeing what interest and what level of financial possibilities there are out there for us to work with Atlas. And we've already had initial discussions with Atlas to see if they're interested. They said, you know, we're interested in helping you in whatever way we can, and hopefully that we can find something that drives cost down by scaling projects. So we're going to be putting out a survey to say, are you interested in, you know, development from Atlas? And we'll give you some examples. You know, one-click ordering to ILLiad is one example. Which I know a lot of people have that, or some people have that in Primo, and it would be nice to do that in SUNY. So, you know, development from the Atlas developers, or maybe things like in-person or online workshops, or concierge-like services where Atlas would tune up your web pages, things like that. So we think this is a need. Don't feel like you have to opt into this if this is not of interest or you don't have the finances to commit to it. But we think that there's enough of a pocket where there's a positive to come out of that, that we're going to be exploring it soon. And as you get that survey, please give us feedback on anything else that you would like out of Atlas, because they seem to be a partner who's willing to have a discussion of like, how can we help each other? Any questions or anything else on that? All right. Quick update on support. So we meet now monthly with support managers, and we also regularly communicate and escalate to product managers. So people who are like the head of Primo or resource sharing, and try to get as many issues worked out as we possibly can. And this is just, you know, I put out the full list of what we discussed. We usually do 15 cases every month where we start to, you know, try to group them together as much as possible. So it might be more like 20, 25 cases to really find issues that we can try to make some progress on. I'm not necessarily going to go through all of them, but these are, you know, this is an activity that we're engaged in. We realize that we would like to see a lot of these resolved faster, as would the support managers and the support people. And we're trying to put as much pressure on Ex Libris as we possibly can. So one of the things that we need your help with, we typically send out a call, and we also will put out what cases we are going to be discussing to groups as well. And no one has taken us up on this unless we've reached out to them at this point. But it is like a needle in a haystack for us, in that there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases open now. And we do our best to find ones that have issues, but you know, we often go and do another read through of the hundreds of cases and then see something to say, oh yeah, we need to step in on this case. So if there's a case that has problems or you're not happy with the performance of Ex Libris support, please tell us, but do that using our ticketing system. Please don't email me directly. It's very hard for me to strand all of these things together and put it into the right places. And we will, you know, we will do our best to get it into those support cases that we talk about monthly. And I think we get a lot better traction when we focus on those on a case. So we are doing our best to find those problematic cases, but please tell us if we're not finding your case, we haven't brought it up in a monthly meeting, and you're struggling with something or it has a large impact. So shifting gears, you all have probably noticed we've done a lot of training in the last quarter and really in the last half year. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we've discussed a push on training, and that at the end of a push that we were going to step back a little on training, and we're hitting that point where we have put together a pretty comprehensive curriculum and gone through and tried to make sure that we have done training or have extensive information on the areas from from a staff level to more configuration or systems level and all functional areas. And we're most of the way there. We just have a few things to tighten up, and we're going to go from multiple sessions every single week to more like one or two sessions a month that we'll be doing for training. And that's going to happen in the spring. So that means that the nature of those trainings are going to change, that they're going to be much more on things that we're doing as far as system-wide initiatives and less reiteration of different functions or workflows as well. So you'll see this coming up in March and April, and a real slowdown and pull back from this. But I think, as you'll see from Jennifer's update, we have a pretty good structure where you can pick this up at the local level and do it yourself as far as training new people or training yourself. Any questions on that? All right, I'm going to turn this over to Michelle, because I think you're the best one to talk about this planned initiative, Michelle.
Sure, Shannon, thank you. So I want to just talk a little bit about the Network eResources Task Force. This was a task force that was put together, and we started meeting about a month ago. So far, we've met 3 times, and we've gathered some information from other consortia regarding how they manage, whether or not they manage their eResources centrally. And the task force is working on narrowing down criteria to help us determine what could and should be managed centrally, and we're making really good progress and are planning to wrap this up by mid-March. So stay tuned. You will be hearing more about this soon. You can go ahead, Shannon. Update on the Central Discovery Index. You probably saw that we have deferred going live until May, and we're looking at Sunday, May 24th. If you have any concerns about that, do please get in touch. Feel free to post in Basecamp or submit something to the LibAnswers. We haven't communicated this with Ex Libris yet, but that is our working date that we're looking at. We presented an updated overview of the CDI on Friday, February 21st, and the link is here to that presentation. And we have a follow-up session this Friday for people who've gotten in and started playing around with it. We'll be available, we being the task force, will be available to answer any questions that you come up with, hopefully. We're hoping that people will get in and start working with the CDI and start doing testing so that you have a good sense of what it's going to look like when you do go live. So the two systems, PCI and CDI, will be running in parallel throughout the next few months until May 24th. And then I just have a link here to the Central Discovery Index Task Force minutes and some Ex Libris documentation here. So a couple of updates for March for Primo. This is kind of a cool thing, this data visualization. This is coming for analytics. It's going to work kind of like Tableau, if you've ever used that as a way to see your data visually. So it's not live yet, but they do say that it will be in preview mode. So you might want to go in and take a look at that. There's a new service called Quick Access Service, and this is to be used with Alma Digital Collections, and it's supposed to be a way that you'll be able to see files right in your results list. It's for your collections, not for e-resources. So if you did have, I don't know, PDFs or images in a collection, you would be able to see them right from the results list. We're still gathering information about this, but this is coming. You'll see if you go and look at the release notes, there is a entry in there where you can see online services from other institutions. I wanted to mention this. I don't think we should implement this, but I wanted you to be aware of what this was. This would be like your physical view where you could see who else physically owned this at other institutions. This would just tell you that some other SUNY school has access to this particular electronic thing. And I don't know how useful it'll be, but I just wanted to give you a little more background on that. I would advise against turning it on because, you know, unless the student wants to drive over to that campus just to get that electronic thing, I don't know if it would be a good use of Primo real estate or not, but that's what that is. There is also local extensions for CZ records, which I know a lot of people have been unhappy with the metadata in the CZ, so this might be a good way to enhance that content while still staying linked to the CZ and taking advantage of automatic updates with that kind of content. You can now set up custom search scopes with course codes. So if you wanted people to just be able to search on a particular course, you can do that. And then there's also improved email templates for the send to email, and you can edit it with Primo Studio or without Primo Studio. So those are all changes that are coming, and the link to the release notes is here at the bottom of the slide. And then I can talk a little bit about Cafe Alma. Thanks so much to everyone who volunteered to MC or who brought questions or did presentations. Attendance at Cafe Alma has been dwindling, and it's been a real challenge to try to get people to MC. And if you've ever attended one that did not have an MC, it's a real struggle to get the ball rolling. So we are canceling future Cafe Almas. The last one will be March 5th. I think there are two more. There's one tomorrow and then one next week. So thanks again. We really appreciate you participating in this experiment, and we will be moving forward with that. I think that's it, Shannon. Yep.
All right. Take it away, Tim.
All right. Thank you. So if you could move forward for me, Shannon, please. Thanks. All right. Hi, everyone. So here are our February borrowing and lending resource sharing statistics. I'll give you all just a moment to take a look at those. All right, if you could head to the next slide, please. Thank you. I really don't have a whole lot to say about the volume statistics. They're not significantly different than they have been in past months. But one thing I did want to let you all know is that I'm starting to take a closer look at lending fill rates now that we've all had time to get used to resource sharing in Alma. And overall, the fill rate, the lending fill rate for the month of February was 80%, which I think is really great. If you compare that to ILLiad and OCLC resource sharing, fill rates for those are typically down around or below 50%. So 80% is quite good, and I'm very happy with that. I'm going to continue to look at these statistics throughout the spring. And in about a month or so, I'll probably start reaching out to libraries where I'm seeing low fill rates, because those could be indications of some configuration issues that we need to work through. So I'll be letting things go for the month of March, but in early April, if I'm seeing any libraries that are significantly below average in the fill rate department, I'll reach out and make sure there aren't any problems that need to be solved.
And Tim, if I can editorialize in your section, I apologize for doing this.
No worries.
I mean, I think the fill rate issue is one to really point to, of a circulation-based interconsortial system is what ALMA is, which inevitably is going to have a much, much higher rate of you're only getting requests for things you want to fill. OCLC-based resource sharing, it's virtually impossible unless you use deflections on the local holdings record or on the BIB record level. You're just going to get whatever somebody sends you. So I know that there's been a lot of, I would say, lack of joy in moving to ALMA for resource sharing, but there are some clear benefits of the type of system that ALMA is. And I think this is a really good one, which is you get far fewer requests that you're just going to have to cancel because you don't want to borrow it, or you don't want to lend it because it's a reserve book or it's checked out, something like that. So just wanted to, you know, talk about that a little bit more, but I'll leave it there.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Actually, you can go ahead to the next slide. Thank you. So here are the turnaround time and fill rate statistics. And note, when I was previously talking about lending fill rates, that's the percentage of lending requests that get filled. The fill rate I'm talking about here is the percentage of borrowing requests that get filled. And it's much lower than the lending fill rate because many requests get immediately exported to ILLiad without ever landing at a lender. So those requests wouldn't be counted in that fill rate. But as you can see here, our fill rate for the month of February was virtually identical to the month of January. So we really seem to have settled in to a fill rate in the high 50s. On the turnaround time side of things, we did see some improvement over January, which is to be expected since a significant portion of the month of January was a break for a lot of campuses. So if you could head to the next slide, please, Shannon. So like I said, the turnaround time continues to be good. And both Albany and Buffalo have provided me some ILLiad turnaround time statistics that I could use for the sake of comparison. And thank you to Nikki and Angela for doing that. So at Albany, the average turnaround time for ILLiad requests for the month of February was 6.8 days. In Alma, it was only 3.8 days. There's a very similar difference at Buffalo. Their ILLiad borrowing turnaround time was 6.3 days, whereas in Alma, it was only 3.9. And one thing I do want to point out is that in the ILLiad statistics, I am only including requests that were submitted directly to ILLiad. So I'm not counting anything that originated in Alma and then got exported. It's just the requests that were submitted straight to ILLiad. And it's also just requests filled by libraries on the ELD courier. So I'm not including requests that were filled by out-of-state libraries. So I do think the data, it's a pretty good, it is an apples to apples comparison once I filter out all of those ILLiad requests. And this data is leading us to believe that ALMA is indeed faster for borrowing than ILLiad. So Shannon, if you could Thank you. So like I said, the fill rate is hovering between 55 and 60%. And one of the reasons that I'm seeing requests go unfilled is because SUNY's holdings are spread out over multiple records with different OCLC symbols. In fact, in the image on the right, you can see an example of one such item. This particular book, there are three records for it in the network zone. The ISBNs are identical for each record. The titles are identical and the authors are identical. These are indeed the same item, but it's spread out over three records with three different OCLC numbers. So what's been happening is if a, for instance, a user used that top record that only has one holding to submit a request, the OCLC number for that record gets included with the request and the locate process is unable to see the holdings attached to the other two. So in that particular instance, it would miss 17 holding libraries. So if that one library that holds the item on the first record couldn't fill the request, that request would get exported to ILLiad. So to help address this issue, and Shannon, if you could move on to the next slide, please. Thank you. So to address this issue, I have removed the OCLC number from all locate profiles throughout SUNY. So we're now running the locate process on the author, the title, the ISBN, and the LCCN. And by ignoring the OCLC number, that should increase our fill rate. I'm hoping that can get us up into the low 60s. But an unfortunate side effect of doing this is we've increased the number of lending locate failures. So lending requests that end up in the locate failed status and have to be manually located by staff. That's not something I've gone into any detail on, like, or deep detail in a training session. So I have scheduled two sessions on lending locate failures for March 6th and March 13th. Those are both Fridays and they're both 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. And just so you know, the sessions, I intend the content to be identical. So you don't have to attend both. You can attend both if you want to, but one or the other will be fine. And I also wanted to let you all know that we have been talking to Ex Libris about these locate issues. So far they've been very receptive of our feedback. So I am optimistic that some changes and improvements will be forthcoming. Unfortunately, I can't say anything about what those changes specifically will look like or when they might happen. But I am hopeful that we'll see some improvements to the locate process based on what we've been seeing here in SUNY. If you can move on to the next slide, Shannon. And just a few other things I want to, resource sharing related things I'd like to talk about. Requests expiring hasn't really been a huge issue for us. I've been keeping an eye on those and the numbers have been pretty low. But I was noticing spikes like after weekends or particularly after long weekends. And since we're trying to fill as many requests in ALMA as we can, and I switched everyone's expiration time from 3 days to 4 days because there were some instances where requests were expiring and then getting kicked out to ILLiad on the borrowing side. I'd like to prevent that as much as possible. So I did update everyone's expiry time from 3 days to 4 days. So you now have 4 days to fill ALMA lending requests. I also wanted to let you all know that there are new versions of the ILLiad borrowing NSIP add-ons. The major change is the borrowing client add-on gives you an option to select whatever ILLiad field you want to be the barcode in ALMA. The old add-on would always use the ILLiad transaction number. And I got a fair number of complaints from libraries who would run into scenarios where they check an item out in ALMA. And then when the user brings it back, they've lost the paperwork, so they no longer have the transaction number. So staff weren't able to check the item back in because they didn't know the barcode. So what this new add-on will allow you to do, if you want, you could scan the book's barcode into Iliad before receiving it. And then once you do actually receive it, that barcode will be passed to Alma. So the barcode attached to the book itself that you borrowed will be in Alma. So if a user loses the paperwork, you still have the barcode there that you can use to check the item in. And one other thing, it's important to note that if you're currently using both the borrowing client add-on and the borrowing server renewal add-on, if you update to a new one of one, you have to do the same for the other, because changes made to the borrowing client add-on had to be reflected in the borrowing renewal server add-on. So if you're updating, you have to update both. And I've included links to the FAQs where you can update those or where you can download those updated add-ons. And lastly, I just wanted to remind you all of a couple of resource sharing initiatives that we're working on. We are going to start testing article resource sharing in Alma very, very, very soon. And then we're also going to start looking at resource sharing with non-SUNY libraries within Alma, because we do have some non-SUNY libraries on the ELD Courier who are using Alma and are interested in doing resource sharing with us. And there's also the CUNY system who will be going live on Alma this summer. So does anyone have any resource sharing related questions?
All right, we'll turn it over to Maggie then.
Hi everyone, Shannon, you can just move the slide forward, please. Hi, so I just want to update you. OCLC, the import profile update to allow the absolute path, was rolled out in February and then rolled immediately back a week later. So before we found that out, I did all the testing. We found out the following Monday after I did testing Friday of the week it was released. And then that Monday, all of a sudden, it was gone because I was just making sure everything worked correctly with OCLC before sending out any information to the campuses and also that they'd have the right documentation. So we had a call with Ex Libris and they, you know, let us know that it was rolled back for there was some issue that was involved and it was going to be released and it's going to be released now March. So the good thing is it's a very early release in March. So on the 2nd, I will be testing this out again. I'll be making sure that the files go to the correct directory, subdirectory, OCLC. And as soon as that is done, I will make the changes to all the campuses that we set up their publishing profiles for. And I will make sure immediately that day, as well, the instructions are sent out to the campuses that set up their own publishing profiles, what to do, how to make the changes. It's relatively easy. It's not that complicated. There's now just a new little checkbox. You just have to make some configuration changes to the pass and your username. So hopefully on Monday, everything works as expected. And as Shannon did announce earlier, the new order API task force, we completed our charge. We have our policy workflows and everything to be ready to be submitted to the LSP. Another really cool thing that happened this month was that Marla Gruner, she worked with Ex Libris and Gobi to test Gobi's new order API's ability to match their eBooks on the community zone. Currently, OASIS just recently rolled out their ability to do this, and they were the only vendor who had this. So it will be forthcoming as well. Don't know when it will be available, but Gobi at some point, hopefully in the near future, will be able to also match their eBooks on the community zone. And that and when that does happen, there will be some just their workflows and their configuration will match OASIS as well. And there'll be less, you know, if you use this vendor, do this. If you use this vendor, do that kind of scenario. So that's some great news. And Chang, if you could just move forward. I want to thank everybody on the task force who volunteered and all their hard work. Everybody who, you know, everybody on the team was great to work with. They had, you know, great added value. They were using the systems live. I don't have the ability to do that. So they had really great input and they, you know, talk through the workflows and problems and, you know, if there's any questions about anything. So thank you to Marla, Kate, Jason, Noah, and Marion. You did a great job. I really enjoyed working with you. And I know SUNY is going to appreciate that you did all the legwork for them. Can we move forward, please? Great. So let's see. I'm just like, okay. So an interesting little snafu that came up this month. Binghamton reached out to me and they're like, for some reason our IZ records they're not getting exported correctly from OCLC. Did some investigation, then worked with Ex Libris to figure out what was going on. So apparently the merge rule from Ex Libris overlay all fields but local does not work as expected. So what it does is it will add fields that don't exist if it's in the master record, and it will overlay fields that exist. But if the field is no longer in the master record, it doesn't do anything with it, and it remains in the record in Alma. So they were updating 260s to 264s. 264 was added to the record, the 260 remained. And so after working with Ex Libris, created a new merge rule that will be applied to all the campuses. I'm going to be working on that. I did put into Binghamton's production so they can test it to make sure that everything does look good. And as soon as that's done, I'll let everybody know once all the changes have been made. And if you do notice, if you do put a lot of BIB records into your IZ and you want to get this put into your configuration more quickly, please reach out to me. Next, please. Great. So we have some new release notes. You know, the release notes are coming out. So there's some new stuff in March, acquisitions. So now there's a preferred material type and purchase request. I don't think a lot of campuses are using purchase requests, but I know some are. And so now instead, you'll be able to choose the kind of material type you want. And it'll be a new feature. It will be up higher. So before it was in a lower position, and it was called requested format. So now instead it's going to be up top, it's going to be called material type. And so whoever's making the request can then specify material type to make it easier for whoever's doing the purchasing. And they're going to be improving sushi performance. Not 100% sure about what the improvements really mean. There's going to be now the missing data tab that's there has been renamed to monthly usage data tab. So in that tab, they've done some color coding for ease of use for connection issues. And I put a link for both of these so that you can look at the release notes to find out more information about acquisitions changes that are coming up. Next, please. And there's not too much going on in resource management this month, but there's a change that will allow the MMSID to appear in other records and other places than they previously have. So now in repository search results for physical items, electronic collections of portfolios, in that it will show the MMSID again. It wasn't always there. And then also in the header for physical items, in the physical item editor, a list of holdings, list of items. So when you click on to see your holding records and your item records, that's the list of holdings and items. And your electronic collection, portfolio, and service editors will now include the MMSID as well.
All right. Unless we have any questions, we'll turn it over to Gail for a discussion on analytics.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. You can go to the next slide. So one thing we wanted to let you all know about, we don't have a date yet, but I think we mentioned before that the underlying software of analytics, the Oracle version, is upgrading, Ex Libris is upgrading it to version 12. And it was originally supposed to be rolled out this weekend, but the testing that some of the other campuses were doing, they were finding some problems with it. So luckily they delayed it, and they said for several months. We don't know what that means, but but we wanted to alert you that this is coming, because there are a couple of things that you need to be aware of. So some of the good news is that the data visualization will be a new feature. It's sort of a different way of creating a graphic view of your data. There's a new view. It'll be similar to like the pie charts and the other graphic views. It's a heat matrix. And the analytics, the design analytics will look a little bit different. And the next slide, you'll see some of what I mean. So it's not dramatically different, but I just wanted to give you an idea of what's going to look different. You can go to the next slide, Shannon. So again, not dramatically different, but go ahead, you can go to the next slide. But the important things to know, which is why we're mentioning it now, is that we found out that the week before this will actually get rolled out, there'll be what they're calling a freeze in analytics. And it's really a freeze. It just means no new reports can be created that time because they won't get migrated. So I believe you can use existing reports, but they'll be starting the migration process. So they'll be calling it a freeze. So I'm hoping that they will give us enough of a heads up of when this is coming. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that as of now, they are saying that the institutional reports will migrate, but not the reports that you have in your My folder. So, you know, when you log in as yourself, you have your My folder, and then your institutional reports are in the shared folders area. So the reports that you have saved in the My folders, as of now, they're saying that those won't migrate. They're hoping to have that fixed, but there's no guarantee. So again, we wanted to give you a heads up about this. So Shannon, you can go to the next slide, and I'll. Their suggestion is to copy the contents of My folder to your institution folder. I would say don't do that now. We're just giving you a heads up. So, but just want to get this out there. But you know, when they announce the freeze, before the freeze takes effect, this is what you would want to do. And if you have, assuming your institution has multiple people that are doing analytics and may have content in their My folders, I think I'm suggesting that you create a personal folders folder within your institution folder, and then that's where your staff can copy their content. And theoretically, once they're done with the migration, you should be able to copy those folders back to your My folders. If I find out anything more, if there's a better way of doing this, I'll let you all know. But as of now, this is what is the recommended plan for when they do announce that they're doing this upgrade. And you can go to the next slide. And this is just some links to what XLibris has put out there now about what's changing, what's new in OBI 12. That's it.
All right. If there's any questions, feel free to unmute or chat. Otherwise, Jennifer, you want to take it away?
Yep. Here we go. Go ahead. So hi, everyone. The first announcement is the biggest announcement, and that is that we have, thanks to the extremely hard work and excellent work of everyone in the shared services staff, we have completed the majority of the cross-functional guides and the functional area guides. We still have the main training guide, which points to all of these. And we still have all of the ones on the left, which were already done. But as of this month, e-resources, resource sharing, and resource management are all also ready for prime time. So there are bits and pieces that are still under construction. So there will be new content or perhaps slightly updated content coming in the next few weeks. But the majority of the content is there, and the majority of the content is as accurate as we can make it at this time. So again, thank you to everyone in shared services. This has been a really huge undertaking. even though a lot of this content exists elsewhere already, adapting it for use to the general population of SUNY has been has taken a lot of effort and work, and I cannot understate how much time the shared services staff have put to this. So thank you all. It's great work. It is made, each guide, to remind you, is made up of, is structured so that someone learning ALMA could basically start at the main guide and then walk through search and navigation, sets and jobs, and then each of the functional areas and analytics and discovery is needed to learn how ALMA is being implemented at SUNY campuses. And again, it's not going to be specific to any one campus, it is across all campuses, but it is basically how SUNY is implementing ALMA and Primo VE. And so the idea is to be that supporting structure for people learning or refreshing their knowledge of ALMA and Primo. And so the guides are all created such that they make a logical sense for each functional area. Within that, then the content is some static, so some content that just lives in the guide, but it's a lot of the FAQs that have been developed over the past couple of years that are being that are easier to maintain and update. So the FAQs are used individually as sources of information, plus they also make up a lot of the content of these training guides. So it'll be easier to manage moving forward and to keep things updated and fresh. So again, my thanks to everyone who has been a part of building these. I really appreciate all the work that you've all done. Okay, go ahead. I will be, now that the guides are done, I can continue to offer, first, I started, as Shanna mentioned at the beginning of this update, we are, one of the purposes of the guides is to support campus level ALMA and Primo training. And I started that, started working on that to support that with you guys via a webinar back in February, earlier in February. The recording and files are available on Basecamp, and the supporting documents for developing campus level training are also available on Basecamp, and this includes links to the webinar and files. It includes the current examples of training and documentation that I've received from a couple of SUNY campuses, thanks to Duchess, Anianta and Purchase for sharing their local training and documentation with me. If anyone else has any local training or documentation they'd like to share as an example, that would be great and fantastic. We can add it to the folder. Also, there is a how-to document on developing technical training for ALMA and Primo VE, and I'll be coming back and circling around and doing another couple of webinars on actually putting that document into use now that the guides are finished. Go ahead. So, upcoming training. There is still plenty of room in the in-person training offerings for the different functional areas. If you follow that link at the top, you'll see more information and a link to register for them. They are in March, cataloging and resource management; in April, e-resources management; and in April, later April, fulfillment units configuration. Like I said, plenty of room. Go look for more information on what each of them will involve and how to register at that link. At that
I just wanted to say on that the plenty of room, Jennifer, that unless something changes in the next couple of weeks, we will be canceling sessions because of low registration. So if you're planning on attending and you want to register, please do so in the near future, especially ones that are coming up in the next 2 to 3 weeks, like the March 18th and March 20th. If we don't hit a minimum of 12 in-person registrants for any of those sessions, we are going to cancel them 1 week ahead of time. And it's unfortunate for us because most of the work is done up front with creating scripts and all of the preparation that goes into it, but it just does not make sense for us to do in-person training for fewer than 12 people. But so please do register as soon as you can. If you have any trouble registering, Just let us know and we can work on that for you.
Do you want to give the flip side of that with the e-resources online course?
The e-resources online course definitely will be presented because I think we have 13 registered for that course. So we are looking at, we're looking at the numbers, and if there is more interest in online courses than in-person training, then that will inform how we approach training going forward.
Okay. Thank you. And then also, also on the slide, the online sessions, again, as Shannon mentioned earlier in the update, the kind of general single hour webinars coming from shared services will be being reduced in number and frequency. There are still a few into March. And then, so resource management analytics is tomorrow. As Michelle mentioned, the CDI overview and Q&A is the CDI overview Q&A, rather, where you get to ask questions based on last week's update, is on Friday. And then Tim mentioned the processing lending locate failure sessions, same session repeated on the 3rd, on the 6th, and the 13th. And then there are also currently weekly discovery and e-resources sessions on Wednesdays. So take a look at what's coming up for that as well at the training calendar link. Go ahead. And as Gail mentioned, the Oracle BI is coming, is being updated. And Wendy Ackerman posted to Basecamp yesterday that CPD will be holding SUNY Business Intelligence training in April. It is the same system as the analytics system in ALMA. So while the absolute details, subject areas will not be the same, it's true, but the basic functionality and processes will be the same. So if you do have the opportunity to participate in that training, do feel free to do so because it will benefit your work in ALMA analytics as well. Go ahead. And last but not least, as I mentioned, there are a couple of remaining training guides, specifically a configuration/systems librarian training guide, which I hope to have complete by the end of March. And then in April, I will be spearheading an effort to create an acquisitions training guide, which is a little bit of a challenge because of the way acquisitions is done differently at all the campuses. On all the campuses, but we're going to do our best to create a guide that works for everyone, again, to support that local training as well. And as I also mentioned earlier, I will be having additional webinars on basically turning the existing guides and other documentation into training. Those will be in late March and through April. There will also be additional documents and support coming up. And I have proposed a pre-conference workshop at SUNY Law in June that will be a hands-on version of this to some extent. And so if you do have the opportunity to take that, I would love to see you there. And I think that's it for me. Yep. Thank you.
So we should have in the near future registration coming out for a conference or a couple of day intensive sessions on collaborating across SUNY libraries. We have a couple of guest speakers that we're just finalizing the arrangements. It's going to be at, or almost certainly will be at SUNY Albany, but it will be in the Albany, New York area for sure, but it's pretty sure that we'll be at University at Albany. We're just finalizing the space agreement, et cetera, with them. So please do put this on the calendar and we'll get registration information and costs out very, very soon. So we are setting up visits, and I think we have about 12 or 15 set up for a couple hour meetings with your libraries just to hear more about how training is going, how Alma Primo is going, and then just to look at where there is capacity for implementing more of Alma and Primo, or where we might need to hold back on more initiatives, or at least to think about how we frame initiatives. And our plan is to only visit about half of the 60 campuses this cycle, and then to see if this is a useful endeavor for us with the time that we're putting into it, to see if we want to visit more campuses on a rolling basis. So I just wanted to give a quick update. This isn't related to the Shared Library Services platform directly, I guess, but we're working towards the final one-year renewal on the SUNY-wide master agreement for a variety of OCLC services. And then I'm working with a cross-sector group that will be looking at what some of the issues, concerns, positives of a master agreement. That will be going on over the next few months in parallel, but very, very separate from this one-year renewal, so that there will be no no interruptions to your ability to procure or pay your OCLC bill. But we are, looking closely at our long-term review of OCLC from a procurement perspective for SUNY as a group. Obviously every single campus still has their own autonomy to do what they choose, but just to take a hard look as we roll into having to potentially do a new master agreement in the future or take a different approach. So just wanted to give that update. No immediate issues, but this will be a topic of conversation in the coming months. So any questions or discussion? We left a few minutes. Feel free to unmute yourself or type in the chat. I just wanted to reiterate, and perhaps a more positive note, please do register for the in-person sessions. There's been a lot of work going into creating really interactive sessions, and I would really hate it if we have to cancel them because of a low registration. I know that we've done a lot of training, et cetera, but I think people would get a lot out of these in-person trainings if you can manage it.
Shannon, I put this to the chat. This is Jennifer. I put it to the chat, but Karen caught a typo for the e-resources online course. It starts on Monday, March 16th, not March 18th. So thank you.
Yeah, we do understand travel and funds are, as Lauren would say, that's always difficult for sure. And I'm not trying to guilt people as much as just say if you do have the capacity to do it and are going to do it, please do register. Any other questions, comments, anything you want to talk about? Yeah, so Lauren puts up a good question. So that they're having trouble keeping up with resource sharing as it is. So how would you handle articles? And what I would say on this is that my thoughts on this, and Tim, correct me if I'm misspeaking here, is that this isn't going to be an additional workload. It's just going to be using a different system and network. So instead of processing intra SUNY articles via ILLiad, you would process them via Alma potentially. And this is all if we can, make the workflow what we consider tolerable.
Yes, Shannon, that is all correct. We're merely trying to shift some request volume out of ILLiad and into Alma. We're not looking to create new requests or additional volumes for folks to deal with. And lastly, we won't be forcing this on everyone if the workflow is too problematic.
Yeah, and by tolerable, I meant meets our high standards.
Yeah, because we do have a pretty tight workflow in Iliad. So yeah, that standard is pretty high, and we wouldn't want to implement a system that is significant.
Yeah, and Jennifer from Hudson Valley asked, are any other libraries doing this? And I'm assuming you mean article resource sharing in Alma. And absolutely, yes. But I think that's where we chose not to, because we have, you know, at least 45 libraries using Iliad, using IDS project tools, and there's a whole lot of customization and automation in that. And we didn't think that we could roll it out and, you know, meet everyone's desires immediately. So a slower, more deliberate rollout was, at least for articles, something we wanted to do, you know, based on that. But yeah, we would not be the first by far. Many other consortia are doing this, and you know, they came from systems that weren't quite as customized and you know, highly worked up as the Iliad / IDS one. So I think that's where we want to make sure that we have things that are positive. And what I would see from this as a huge positive is that we have many libraries in SUNY who their only option for articles for resource sharing is WorldShare ILL, which has no OpenURL compliant form. So their version of articles would be email or fill out a Google form or an online form to request an article. And that would require the user typing it in, where at least this article resource sharing would be a major improvement on the user end for those 10 or 12 libraries that are just WorldShare ILL or nothing at this point for articles. Hopefully I didn't oversell it there, Tim, but I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Any other questions, comments? We're a little late on time, so you know, if you need to go, that's perfectly fine, but I can stick around for another minute or two or a few minutes if anybody has questions. And I would say on the articles and rolling that out, we would do that gradually. So we do understand summer is a difficult time, staffing's tight every place. It's not going to be that we're going to expect all 60 to come up in 3 weeks. If 60 are chomping at the bit to come up on this, we would do our best to accommodate that, but we're not expecting that. Or at least I'm not. Maybe Tim is.
Oh, no, I'm not.
All right. So thank you all for your time. We always appreciate your attention and try to put things together as concisely as possible. So we appreciate your time. Thanks.